Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Patrick Serrato, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies, and this is the
Deck the Hallmark Mother of Horror Podcast.
What is it?
What do we call it? It's Deck the Lifetime Hallmark and Horror Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody. It's your good friends, Bran, Dan, Patrick is here. It's a Sunday morning. Yeah. Maybe you're, you know, getting the family ready to go to church, and you're like, what? Oh. There's a new Deck the Hallmark podcast? Let's pop that in.
But that's because Saturday night, we all had to stay. When I say we all, you guys, I can't watch the movie, obviously. Right. But you guys had to stay up and watch that Lifetime premiere.
Yes.
And so we are burning the midnight oil here, getting this episode done. Before
we didn't want a full week to go by.
No, not after release of this Lifetime Christmas movie classic, Christmas in the Pines.
Christmas plus one.
That was very, very close. Very close.
Christmas plus one. And you want to know what's crazy about Christmas plus one, Dan? Do you remember the Up TV movie we watched? With the greatest kiss of all time.
Yes.
That is the same leading girl who's in that's in this.
Really?
So it's a big season for her.
I heard that there was a movie with those two where they met called Well Suited for Christmas. That's one of the best Christmas movies of like the last few years. That was what I heard on Twitter. I don't know if I believe
one person said it.
The Hallmarkies podcast.
Okay.
I've seen it, and I know Rachel really liked that one. I gotta say,
you disagree.
It was a stupid movie.
Okay, all right. Listen,
fair.
But
so
this
we got
is
one in the yay column and one in the nay.
And this is why it's important for there to be as many of these podcasts as possible.
Of course,
everybody has an opinion. Let's throw it out there. You'll find somebody that you will relate to between all of the different made-for-TV movie podcasts out there. Patrick, Merry Christmas to you! I'm so happy that the Lifetime movies finally switched over to Christmas. I know that you probably aren't. I know you like. Like the cheerleaders getting chased by the werewolf and whatever, but
I do.
But I'm happy. I am, you know, the fact that there's only 12 this year leads me to wonder, you know, what next year will hold. Is it going to continue like cutting back, or is this kind of more the same?
Yeah,
they have clearly waved the white flag in trying to compete head on with Hallmark, and now they're kind of doing, 12, which is nice.
This is the first year we've seen a reduction in the total Christmas movies being made for TV.
There's another cable station out there that has more Hallmark, has more Christmas movies than Lifetime now. So it's just like, we don't talk about Bruno, but this was a big reduction. This was it was in the 20s last year, yeah.
Yeah, this is over half, and a lot of these are acquisitions. So, you know, they were just like, it's like when you decorate and you're like kind of half into it. You're like,
like Brand this year.
Put us some lights.
I don't need it from you. We're not doing this today.
Oh, no.
Brand lost his Christmas spirit, Patrick.
I got an artificial tree, Patrick.
Yeah.
That's what
that's okay. You know, people are allergic to the pine needles, and you get them stuck in the paws of your little animals. You can't have.
Yeah, actually, you're making some great points here. If you care about people,
you would
get an artificial
get a real
tree.
Because it helps the environment to get a real tree.
Well, and we know people don't care about people, so you got to go with the
artificial tree.
Like your dog.
If you care about your dogs, do you care about your dogs?
I love my dogs. They've never gotten a pine needle in their paw. Never once.
It's going to be like that.
That's because I don't get a pine tree. I get a fir tree, a Fraser fir tree.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't shed.
That's right. Yes, it's not supposed to anyway. Yeah, I've had a few that have.
They get there eventually.
Eventually. That's right.
All trees eventually.
All part of the magic. Well,
yes, is exactly right. All right, let's get to it. Christmas plus one. For those of you that typically listen to Deck the Homework and haven't listened to a Lifetime episode, a little bit different of an outline here. Me and Patrick, we have watched this movie. We watched it, and Dan did not. And so we're going to explain the movie to Dan, and then at the end of it, we'll decide whether or not we're going to pour it up or put a cork in it. Patrick, take it away.
That's it. So Christmas Plus One is our first Lifetime movie of the season. It stars Emily Olatto, allegedly the best kisser ever.
The best kisser ever. You got to see this on TV.
You have to see this kiss. It's okay, absurd.
Well, good for her. Corey, you guys.
Severe weather warning.
Sevier.
Or whatever we decide. Andrew Bushell and Langston Alexander Williams.
Would you consider hiding him under a bushel?
No.
All right.
I would consider hiding him.
Uh-oh. I don't know.
No, don't go there. don't do that.
All I'm saying is he's cute, and he's in a lot of these Christmas movies this year.
The hesitation of Patrick in every word of that sentence was
is,
so perfect.
Is Bushell the other guy?
Yeah, he's the other
guy. Okay. Yeah, he's a good-looking fellow.
He's a handsome man.
Handsome man.
And in so many this year. I feel like he's in at least five that I've seen.
This is the year of the bushel. I've said that, and I'll say it again. It's the year of the bushel.
There you go. Okay, so the movie starts off, we have a pair of sisters. They're in their 30s, and they have this tradition where they write their Christmas wishes on a little piece of paper, and they put it in a message in a bottle, and instead of sending it to sea, they put it on the Christmas tree. And it has their wish. They both wish this year, particular year, for their soulmates. And they put it in the jar. And they're like, what'd you wish for? And they're both like, soulmates at the same time. And they're like, oh, weird. That's weird. I wish for the same thing. How awkward. Which is really funny. You know, like...
Are you supposed to tell people what you wish for?
Well,
I think that's what I... When you're when you're related, maybe you can.
Okay, so
no,
it's one of
you're not supposed
okay.
to tell.
I'm trying
Thank
to
you.
Help.
You're not supposed to tell, and I'm going to take it back to like a very a long time ago when I was seven. We did something similar to this. We had to sew little necklaces out of like yarn or something and put your wish in there. And I wished to marry Alan Fleming. And who
is Alan Fleming?
Alan Fleming is just a kid who was in my class who I wanted to marry when I was seven, and he liked the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's all I can remember about him. There was no particular reason why this person he wasn't my friend. I don't know anything about this child at the time, but I had a crush on him, I guess. And I put it in the little thing, and I made my wish, and I, you know, just kept it under my pillow or whatever you're supposed to do with Christmas wishes. And my mom found it, and she's like, do you want to talk about this? And I was like, oh no, my mom knows that I want to marry Alan Fleming. So the only thing I could think of to do was to eat the paper. And I literally just said, I don't want to talk about it. And I ate the paper, and I was like, okay, the wishes are going to come true. I ate the paper.
What did your mom do when you ate the paper?
I guess you're just like, all right, I guess you don't want to talk.
I thought we were heading down a very sentimental road.
Right.
Here, and it twisted on me.
Is this the time that your mom first realized that you might like guys and you ate paper instead?
Yeah, right. This is supposed to be like a coming out moment.
This is a big moment in your life.
Seminal moment. And he just ate the paper.
Ate the paper. I was like, I'm not ready to come out to you. I'm seven. Give me some time. Sorry. That was just a little.
I love it. That's great. But see, this is what happens when you tell people your wishes. Once again, see if he just kept the Alan Fleming thing. Maybe it came true. Maybe it would come true.
You know, I mean, you're right. But I'm glad that didn't, because I don't want to go to hockey after we watched that hockey Christmas movie. I was like, this is not for me.
That's right.
All right. So we flash to 1 year later. Kara is the girl, one of the girls who wished Kara's one of the sisters.
She's the main sister. The good kisser. Kara's the good kisser.
Got it.
From the Up TV movie.
She's rushing home for the holidays. She misses her train, and a handsome stranger in the supposed to be Union Station, we'll get to the New York of it all later, but it's set in New York. The handsome stranger's like, oh, I rented a car, I'll give you a ride. And on the ride, they like really hit it off. They talk about their Christmas traditions, and she gives him her number. Yes. Or he says,
let's meet. Like, because they find out that they actually live really close to each other, or like spend like this area. And he's like, I always go to this place, I go to that place, blah, blah, blah. And so he's like, let's go get the hot chocolate or whatever.
Let's go get
together
the hot chocolate.
This
yes,
year.
Of course.
Give me your phone. And he puts his number in the phone. And which typically in any other situation would be good. But in Kiss and Kara's case, she gets so excited that she starts like jumping around after he leaves and drops.
She's a big twirler.
Twirling around and drops her phone on the street. Again, typically not a huge deal. It is what it is. Like maybe you get a crack or whatever.
She's twirling?
She's twirling in excitement that she gets to maybe get hot chocolate with.
Okay.
I would be twirling too.
More than fair. And then the final thing happens, which is
she eats paper.
Severe weather warning walks by and accidentally kicks her phone and it falls into the drain.
In New York City?
In New York City.
So she's twirling, phone falls, severe weather warning kicks it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, she might be in her hometown at this point.
She's in her hometown. Okay. Yes, she's in her hometown. But it's down there, and this is the problem, everybody.
Pennywise the clown comes out.
Yeah, he says, right. I like to twirl, too. He says, I'm sorry, this is the problem. I'm still doing Pennywise bits here. This is the problem with the technology these days. The kids out there, they're just like, give me your phone. Let me put my number in. Either do this. This would be my advice after seeing this movie. One, each of you exchange the number, right? Not just one, because things can go wrong like this.
Yeah.
Or paper and eat it. And then it'll come out eventually. This is now a thing where I'm just like, if I'm ever going to exchange numbers with somebody for some reason, which I almost never do. I don't remember the last time I was like, I don't think I've ever handed somebody my phone
ever.
And like put it in.
I've asked someone their number and texted them.
But I do know it's a thing that people do, the younger kids these days. So this is the advice to you, especially if you're exchanging numbers with a Bushel or somebody like that. Both of you need to put the phones,
that's right,
the numbers in your phones.
Of course.
Yes. And so Kiss and Kara gets really mad at what's his character name?
Chase.
Chase.
She
gets really mad at Chase, and she like is like, no, what'd you do? You're such a dummy. And he's like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, I'm just walking here. And she's like really freaking out. Like, I loved her freak out because she was like screaming like bloody murder. It was great. And he's just
sorry. Severe weather warning is Michael. The Bushel is Chase. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Michael.
Got it. So yeah, she moves on. She's like annoyed. She goes home and
she's got to get to her sister's dress fitting, which is the whole
course. Yes.
So the wedding's coming up, but she needed to. The reason why she even took the car with Chase in the first place is because she had to be there at that time for the wedding, the dress fitting or whatever. So that's why it was important. So she does that and is like, oh my gosh, I met this guy. It's amazing, but I lost the phone. She's real sad and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. And she has like this work assignment that she has to do. He has a writing assignment. So,
yes.
What is his name? Michael. Michael is a reporter. He gets assigned a big story with his original idea, Christmas in New York.
What? Man, no one's ever reported on that before.
Yeah. So his boss is like, that's a great idea. But Michael doesn't know any of the traditions of New York. And he's just like, I don't really care about Christmas. Oh, so he goes to write his story and they're in a little coffee shop. And he like knows the barista there, like slash owner, like they're friends. It's Pete's Cafe. So Pete is the barista. And then who comes in to sit down on one of her Christmas traditions that she loves to do, get a hot cocoa at Pete's Cafe? It's the phone girl. And he's like, hey, I know you. You're the girl with the phone who was freaking out. And she's like, you're that jerk who like knocked my phone in the thing. And they strike up a deal, a mutually beneficial deal, where Kiss and Kara will help Michael with his article, and he will help her look for Chase by doing all these like Christmas things that both her and Bushel really love.
Classic,
right?
Because classic plot line. Here.
Chase is as Christmas obsessed as Kiss and Kara is. So the thought is like, I will go and we'll do all these things, and you'll be able to write the thing, and then also I'll be able to hopefully
a lot of these
things that she like wants to do are like you need somebody else, and like maybe she would normally do it with her sister, but her sister's doing wedding stuff, so all that. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll find out what happens.
I can't wait
to Kiss and Kara and the crew. Saw them live right here on Deck the Lifetime Record.
Uncorked.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you saw Kiss and Karen and the crew live, did they end with that slow jam?
They did.
They did? Yeah, they slow always jam, do. Yeah. They always do.
You have to.
It's beautiful. And everybody's just swaying. Ooh. It's a religious experience.
It is.
Boys, I've been listening to Barbara Streisand's book on tape or audiobook.
Right.
And she says start with a ballad. She says
start with a ballad.
Start with a ballad is a bold choice.
You just ballad?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you know what? Start with a ballad. It gets the audience on your side emotionally, and then you give them what they want.
But they're so energized.
Everyone's just waiting. Yeah. All right.
Imagine like, you're here? Ballad.
You imagine like Bon Jovi
really
opening with Always?
That would be amazing. So I'm listening to that for Alonzo because he told me when I was excited about Britney Spears' bio, he was like, I'm excited for Barbara's bio. And I'm like, Barbara, you know?
Hey, how was Britney's book since we're here? Did you finish it?
Oh, I haven't started it.
Oh.
So you skipped Britney and went straight to Barbara.
Well, Spotify's doing books.
Yeah,
on
they are. There's a lot of free books on there now.
How can I pass up a 45 hour Barbara Streisand book?
I'm about to start listening to the Dash and Lily books on Spotify because they're available with premium. So I'm just like, might as well jump in.
Are we doing a Spotify ad right now?
The books, a lot of books come included.
Spotify premium includes books now?
Yeah, you can listen to the Barbara Streisand book with Spotify premium.
The fact that we're not getting paid for this is absurd. Right. It is such an organic ad. It's unbelievable.
It's like the audiobooks on Spotify, I gotta say, is a huge flex. I was like, dang, this is real. I'm never leaving Spotify now.
Because that's the nice thing though. Because it's like we haven't been paying artists well for years. Like authors should get in on this action.
That's
like
right.
let's screw them over too.
Let's find a way to pay them poorly.
See, now we balance it out.
Now we did it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a long time Audible subscriber, so you know. Shows you where my allegiances lie.
With Amazon.
Yes.
I wasn't aware you had all the money to buy audiobooks.
That's right. With the people. Yeah. Amazon. Yeah.
So we were talking about how this is like a classic Christmas movie setup with the dates, like helping each other, doing their prospective things. Like, it is. But I think that it's done pretty well here because, like, the actors are, like, kind of, like, vibing. Like, you can tell that, like, she really likes the guy from the train station. And, like, I don't know. I thought that even though I knew what I was getting into, it was one of those, like, okay, here we go. We're doing this thing, right?
This reminded me of Severe Weather Warning's character in Noel Next Door. Like, kind of
grumpy.
Grumpy, curmudgery.
We like curmudgeon-y.
Curmudgeon-y. But then you start doing the Christmas. And this is the magic of Christmas. They do the first tradition, which is, what's the first tradition?
That classic New York City tradition, building a snowman. This is where I'm going to go with this, because these are all very classic, only in New York.
Classic New York. You don't go see that Rockefeller tree. You build a snowman on the corner of 5th and where are you building a snowman?
Exactly. It's a Central Park contest. And the, what's his name? Michael. Sorry, I can't do names today. Michael is not prepared. He doesn't bring the proper gloves. He's like me. He only brings fingerless gloves. Mm. And their snowman's like pretty pathetic, to be honest.
It's so funny. I watching this whole movie, it didn't even click with me that this is supposed to be New York City.
Oh my gosh.
No. It's so small town. Like, they say it early on, it's New York City. It's not New York. Like, it is a small town. Like, they're doing small town activities.
So the whole time you're watching this movie, you loved it because you thought they were doing a bunch of small town things and not in New York City.
I just didn't really think about it. I would have liked it either way. It's just like, I'm reminded by Patrick that this does take place in New York City, despite the fact that...
Like a father abandoning his child doesn't get in the way of a good mystery.
It's exactly that.
Okay, got it.
Okay. New York traditions. But also Chase is doing all the same traditions. So at this snowman one, he has his scarf that he was wearing on their little road trip, and it's on the snowman. She's like, he was here.
Can you imagine, would this happen to you, Patrick, if you for some reason took a road trip with a stranger, would you remember the scarf that he was wearing multiple days later on a snowman?
You know, forensic science says that I wouldn't. An eyewitness testimony is not reliable.
But what if you were in the car with Alan Fleming?
Fleming.
Alan Fleming would be wearing a penguin.
Penguin scarf.
You know, this is a real person. I hope this.
Alan, where you at? Shout out.
Right? There you go. He's going to be like, I never knew that little kid in full sweatpants, the head to toe sweatpants attire matching.
A sweatsuit. You weren't wearing sweatpants as a top, were you? No.
You know, I dress myself, so you never know.
You never know.
You were dressing yourself at 7?
Absolutely.
Really? Picking out your own outfits?
Yeah, it really was.
I like Grizz pick out his own outfits.
Yeah.
You know,
all the time?
Yeah, all the time.
And whatever he goes with, you let him go?
Almost always.
Well, my kids have to wear a uniform to school, so that doesn't work for them.
Uniform was solid sweater, solid sweatpants, same color top and bottom.
Yeah,
and
solid.
Rotate.
I thought you said salad. Green. I thought you said salad sweatshirt, which solid.
I also had a party animal shirt that was in heavy rotation.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
What was on that shirt? It said party animal. What was on there?
Probably an animal.
Was it an animal from like the Muppets?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, yeah, that's a quality shirt.
It's a quality sweatshirt. Anywho, back to the movie.
We have our next Christmas tradition, which is throwing snowballs at a target, like a target practice. Michael brings the correct gloves this time, and he gets into a shootout with a kid who turns out to be Bushel's nephew.
Uh-oh.
So, like,
what are the odds in New York City?
I know, in New York City, what are the odds? Then they're like walking around this little Christmas market thing, and they find like a photo booth, but it's like one of those photo booths that print out the pictures, you know? So they do extremely silly pictures, the kissing Kara and Severe Weather, like she went so hard on these silly pictures that I was so surprised. Are you guys with me?
I'm with you.
She went so hard on these silly pictures. I need more information.
Like you know when you're like make a silly face,
like real silly.
Okay.
And you just kind of like stick out your tongue or you like do.
So
like,
she goes harder than that.
She does. She like blows out her like cheeks and like crosses her eyes and like does like boogalooga.
Kissing Kara is just above and beyond here.
She is.
She was committed to the silly photo. This is the type of woman at a wedding or whatever. She's like, everyone do a silly photo. And then everyone's doing silly. And she's like really going too far. You know?
She Classic. Has it all mapped out. Mm. But guess when they go to get their picture, guess what other picture they see?
What
is Chase? It's Chase and his
they're
nephew.
On the case.
Chase is on the case. Well, they're on the Chase case. Either way.
Yes, they're on the Chase case.
They are just, it seems like they're just one step behind them, Patrick.
Man, in New York City.
Always. They get deterred from their mission. They run to some carolers singing 12 Days of Christmas, which is fine. Kara sings along with them, and she's spinning around, and she's like, oh, the 12 Days of Christmas, I love that song. And he's like, I don't know that song.
He doesn't know the 12 Days of Christmas?
No.
That's a classic New York thing that hasn't gotten to the small town yet. Is that what we're saying? 12 Days of Christmas?
It's a classic small town thing that hasn't made its way to New York City, I think.
No, they're in New York City.
Right.
And she loves the song.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
He's from New York.
He's from New York.
My bad. Yes, switch it.
Switch it and reverse it.
Right. Missy Elliott said
it back. She learned it in Pittsburgh.
The small town of Pittsburgh.
It's slowly creeping its way up.
He doesn't know the 12 Days of Christmas?
He says he's not familiar. He's
not familiar.
I'm not familiar with this track. Patrick, give me the 12 Days of Christmas, starting with 12. Go.
12 drums are drumming.
Yep.
11 ladies leaping.
Lords.
10 maids are milking. 9
ladies.
Quailing.
Nine quails quailing.
Eight
maids.
Eight cows. Cows a mooing.
Okay. Close.
Seven swans a swimming. Yep. Seven swans a swimming.
Yeah.
Six. Oh, I got it now. Geese a laying. 5 golden rings. 4 calling birds. 3 French hens. 2 turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
You need the alliteration of the 7 swans of swimming.
Yeah.
That really helps. Yeah. You were close on most of them, so congratulations.
Who pays attention?
Is it 11 lords a-leaping?
It's 12 drummers drumming, 11 lords pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You got
drummers
it.
Drumming is the one I don't know why. You should remember that pretty easily. But
there's just too many drummers.
Too many drummers.
You think that the drummers shouldn't be that many.
So many drummers.
But there's
It'd
nothing
be very loud. It'd be very loud.
I hate to be the guy to get us back on track, but by this point in the film, when he doesn't know 12 Days of Christmas, is he starting to do the thing where he's like, I'm still writing this article, but I'm falling for her at the same time? And is that real? Should I tell her? Are we there yet?
I don't think there's a Christmas tree lot scene, I think, where it kind of all clicks.
It's coming.
This is still like setting it up, you know.
We're still early on then.
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get a little montage because don't forget the wedding. We get like a bridesmaid dressy try on.
Don't forget the wedding.
Which is fine. Michael shows up to the bridesmaid place and he sees kissing Kara in the dress and he's like hubba hubba and that's when I think he like is like, I like her
because everything else she's been wearing up until this point is uggo,
kind of uggo, kind of trash,
but this
oof.
It goes to show you it's not the woman, it's the dress.
It's the Rachel E. Cook walking down the stairs and she's all that.
Totally. I mean, this costume designer nailed it. They were like, put her in the dress, get her hair, take her glasses off. But yeah, so they go to this Christmas tree lot. Kiss and Kara comes up with a plan. She knows the type of tree that Bushel would pick out. So she leaves a little note on there with the photo booth picture. And she's like, hey, it's me. Here's my number. Hit me up. And leaves it there. Well, Bushel finds the photo, but his hands are so sweaty because he is a sweater. He rubs off the ink and messes it up. And he's like,
he sweats a lot. He's not a sweater.
The Bushel is he's sweating.
He sweats a good bit, sure.
Yeah,
in Christmas in New York time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great.
For fashion.
Seems like the coincidences are really piling up here.
It's for fashion's sake. For
what fashion. If he doesn't know the 12 days of Christmas? Write that down. That's good.
So there's also an emergency with the wedding cake. Like something happens with the wedding cake and
I think they can't. They double booked or something like that. Yeah.
Double cake situation. Right.
They had somebody and they canceled. And so luckily for them, like Michael bake? Is that what happens?
His family used to own a bakery. Yeah.
So he knows his way around a cake mix and whatnot.
He does. And he's like, he calls his friend Pete who has the cafe. He's like, can we come over and make this wedding cake?
That's right.
And you're like, this is going to be terrible. It's going to turn out terrible. But it doesn't. They actually have a little wedding like thing, the flower fight. Like we do all the things. Like this movie has all those things.
And then you have the flower and then you follow it up with like a serious conversation of like death, like in the family, like talking about who in your family has died, you know, classic, as you do in these movies.
One of these
it's
movies,
like you can't be too high for too long. We got to bring it down and all that good stuff. So Michael finally gets vulnerable about his dad and stuff like that.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's good for him.
Way to share.
Yeah, and he doesn't like to bake because the family, you know, brings up painful memories and Christmas traditions bring up painful memories. So Kiss and Kara is like, you know what? You were so vulnerable and you, like, I'm speaking like bachelorette talk. You were so vulnerable and you've been very open with me and I'm starting to fall for you. And, I think you should come to the wedding instead of Bushel.
You should be her Christmas plus one.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So they leave with the wedding cake. They run out and who walks in?
Can I pause you? Let's take a break. We'll find out on the other side of the break.
What a tease.
I'm good, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Who walks in?
Who walks in? Is it Bushel?
No, it's not. It's Joan Rivers, New York legend.
It's true. Do you have a Joan Rivers impression for us?
I'm dying.
That's not terrible. It's not terrible.
What is she wearing? She looks like a pig with lipstick.
After Joan Rivers walks out,
impression.
Joan Rivers does a whole stand-up routine. She walks out, and then Bushel walks
comes in.
Then Bushel walks in.
Chase is on the case.
He does, and he's like, hey, I came here because I'm kind of like retracing my steps. I'm looking for this girl, Kiss and Kara.
You know
and
her Pete, by that name, maybe.
Pete is put on the spot.
Yeah.
Pete is like, well, I don't know her personally. He's like trying to like lie, but like not lie, you know, he like wants to check with his buddy first. Like he's like, so he doesn't want to like give this guy, cause he can tell that, Michael and Kiss and Kara are vibing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to like, you know, bring this other guy.
Pete's in a tough spot.
Pete is in a very tough, I don't envy Pete here in this situation. This would be really tough. Cause on one hand, obviously you want to do what's right. But on the other hand, you got to look out for your boy, right? You got to look out for your boy who is now getting his Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Kind of falling for this girl, is kind of coming out of his shell a little bit.
So what's Pete do?
So
he sends him on his way.
He lies.
Right? He lies.
Okay.
But but Chase leaves his number.
Yes.
And with a note that's basically like, hey, if you, this is me, here I am. Call me maybe. And he's like, hey, if you ever do come across Kiss and Kara, give her this note, will you?
Yeah. And so he gives it to Michael and he says, hey, this guy came. I don't know what to do with this. You take it and you can deal with it.
Which is a pro move by it. This is good because it's like, it's up to you, bro. Like, here it is. I did the best I can.
Give it to Michael.
I'm going to give it to Michael
and let him.
And Michael can decide. And Michael,
he doesn't give it to her, and then there's Michael, a big disagreement, right?
Well, Michael has the intention
of
giving it to her.
Sure he does.
But then ice skating. But then he has it with it on his person. But then she's like, "We should go ice skating."
Mm. Okay.
And what are you supposed to do in a situation like that?
I will say this: Pete may be the worst friend of all. Like, you should have either given it to her yourself or just put it in your pocket. You can't give that to Michael. And then now she's going to find out and she's going to be hurt because he lied and there's going to be a whole misunderstanding they got to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, we have to talk about Michelle Kwan. So many Michelle Kwan. So
a lot of Michelle Kwan.
Michelle Kwan, this figure skater?
Right.
They literally name drop Michelle Kwan like at least three times.
Maybe she's a producer on this movie and we didn't know it.
I hope so.
Shout out to Michelle Kwan.
Chill.
I was like, pour it up already. We get the Michelle Kwan references. She should have won gold. That's right. She should have. It's not fair.
What do you mean? Do you remember that routine? Or are you just saying that from the movie?
Michelle Kwan never won Olympic gold. She always got passed up by other people.
Like Tanya Harding or Nancy Kerrigan.
No, it's later than that. I think
Christy Yamaguchi.
What's Oksana Bayul?
Oksana Bayul, the backflip. Yes. See, I know some figure skating things.
Man. No, that's Bozole. That's Bozole.
That's Bozole. Brian Boitano and Paul Wiley. And
Wiley Wallaby.
I know some figure skating names.
You sure do. Well,
look at that.
For my figure skating podcast, the Olympic, Olympics 2024, we're going to go.
I will guest on that podcast.
it will be great.
And I will get all of the references wrong.
The duo no one expected. But the duo we need.
After Patrick and I complete the amazing race and win it,
yes,
then we will start our figure skating podcast. Yes, that is correct.
Right. We got a lot to do.
We got to probably get on it. That's right.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think that she's going to find out about the notes, get really upset, and then she's going to maybe call Bushel, and then she's going to realize she still misses Michael, and she's going to go back. He's going to apologize. They're going to kiss, and that, my friends, is Christmas plus one.
Yeah. I mean, pretty close.
Let's find out. Patrick, go ahead.
Pretty close. So we get back to the decorating the tree and all that type of stuff. Kissing Kara decides to have Michael fill in for her sister with the Christmas wish bottles where they write the wish.
Classic.
And they put it in the bottle. Yep.
And they both say, find my soulmate.
Wishes in a bottle.
They both wish for each other to succeed, for one another to succeed. So he wishes for her to find love and she wishes for him to write a good story about New York Christmas.
Cool.
Yeah, which, you know, is nice.
Yeah.
And then they kind of have like a nice little talk. They're almost about to kiss here, but then her annoying family comes in. Was so annoying.
Can I just say about this almost kiss? It was the longest pause before the actual interruption I think I've seen. When you get really close to somebody and then you hold it knowing that somebody you're about to be interrupted, this was like a good like 3 seconds, like just right in front of each other's faces. Like, oh, darn it.
Oh, man.
You gotta kiss fast or else something happens.
They missed it.
So here's what happens, Dan. Kara, I believe it's the next day, is at Pete's. And who does she bump into? Chase
is on the case.
Chase is on the case, and he's at Pete's.
Did you get my note?
Did you get my note? She says, no, I never got your note. He looks over at Pete, and is just like,
does Pete throw his boy under the bus?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. He fumbles over it and like doesn't really do a good job of explaining it. Is that right, Patrick?
Yeah, he just kind of like he's making like goofy faces and being like, "Ooh, I don't know." Which is so fun when you're caught like that. You know, it's like when
pretty
you're
clear,
about somebody and they're right behind you.
It's pretty clear he's holding something back. Like he's just kind of like, "Oh boy, what could have happened?
Who's that? How about them Dodgers?
How about those Penguins? Am I right?"
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, Michael is off working on the story. He does so well on the story that his boss fires him, and his boss is like, "You aren't reaching your full potential at the paper, and you need to like go write your book."
Okay.
And like, here's a book person I know who's going to help you work on a book, so you can really maximize your writing potential and not just do Christmas stories about New York that have nothing to do with New York. And he's like, okay. He finds Kara and she's like giving him the cold shoulder. She tells him about the whole chase, like run in, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like, can I have another chance?" And she's like, "No." And then she runs away crying. Yeah. Hysterically.
Yep.
Crying.
Yep.
That's tough.
It checks out.
That's tough. But here's where the rubber meets the road, I guess, is the saying. Chase and Kara start to hang out some, yeah, and the chemistry is just not quite as
exactly what I said
hot as it once was.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They start, you know, going out and talking, and she's like talking about Michael all the time.
Yep. She can only talk about Michael.
Yeah.
This is exactly and what I said.
Guys. Finally, he's like, "Hey, I don't think this is the right time for us. I'm not going to go to.
We missed it.
I'm not going to go to the wedding anymore with you.
I won't be your Christmas plus one.
I won't be your
Christmas plus one." Well, it's good that he said that too. I like that he was like, "You know, the chemistry's off. Like, I don't think I should be your wedding date." Like, yeah, don't go and have a weird time. Like, that's, you're not obligated to go to this wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I love that. I thought that was great. And that's why Bushel should be my wedding plus one. So it's wedding day. We're finally there. We get the dress, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? The wedding is so peripheral.
So yesterday.
Story. No one cares.
So yesterday. Kara manages to make the wedding all about herself, a quality I love in a bridesmaid. And she is like reading an email or something, about like, what did I even write here? I don't know what my notes mean. Something about a graphic design. She would like wants to do graphic design, I think was her dream for her work. And Michael like put in a good word for her. So she gets a job and she's like, "Look, sister, I got this job." And the sister's like, "It's my wedding. Like, shut up." Well, I almost dropped a nap on there.
Yeah, I know. I can hear it a mile away.
Sorry. That is like so my favorite saying right there. Then we have Michael. He shows up in a full on like suit. He apologizes. Amy, the sister, invited him. He didn't crash. She was like, "I saw your connection and you need to make it right." Mm-hmm. The wedding happens. It's beautiful.
It's a long wedding scene. It's longer than I anticipated it being.
How long is this movie? Seems like we packed a lot in.
We packed a lot in.
We did. We're very close. So they start dancing and they share what they wish for. They realize that they wish for each other to be happy. And then they make out hardcore on the dance floor with kissing Kara.
Kissing Kara. There's a reason why she's not marrying Severe Weather Warning, and she is marrying the guy from the Up TV movie. The kiss pales in comparison. Patrick, the guy that she kissed in this Up TV movie, they're getting married.
Yes, her fiance, correct.
Oh, yes. Oh, that makes a difference. You can't fake that chemistry.
It was they faked it most of the movie, and then the kiss came around and you're like, whoa.
Okay. Well, yeah, and that is the movie. The movie ends abruptly after the kiss.
It does. It ends very quickly.
Yeah.
All right, what do we do next, Patrick?
So now we are going to go around and we are going to say whether we pour it up, which means we are into it and we would recommend a watch, or we put a cork in it and say we would not recommend. Skip this one, please. Yeah. And obviously Dan hasn't seen it, so we start with
Brian. Yeah, we sure do. This is tough. I'm going to put a cork in it, and I'm going to tell you why. It does sound like you both enjoyed the film. And that doesn't mean I should put a cork in it, but it seems like a movie, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Brand. It seems like a movie that would divide us along how we watch these movies, the line of how we watch these movies. It seems to be so many contrivances in this movie.
Nice.
Whether it be, the 12 Days of Christmas thing or the New York City thing, that it would drive me crazy because it's not being played for laughs. It's not being played satirically. It's being played like you're supposed to believe it's just true. That would drive me crazy and take away from my enjoyment so much that even if there was some fun to be had, I would probably hate it by the end. So put a cork in it for me.
There you go.
I'm pouring it up. I had a good time with this one. Better time than I honestly anticipated, because it was, there's so much about it that is kind of like just goofy and silly. But I found, you know, I think I like this lead. I think I like her. The Up TV movie, I was kind of not totally sure. Yeah. She's fun. She's quirky. And I'm always down for a severe weather warning.
Am I right in my assessment, though? Like, I would have would have driven me crazy.
Yeah, okay. I think it would have, yeah. It is. It's a good time. I would say, like, there's nothing special about this movie. It's not going to, like, stand out at the end of the season. It hits the spot this time of year with a solid, non-offensive Christmas movie. So Lifetime, not off with like the strongest starts, but it could absolutely be worse. So there you go.
Oh yeah, like this is great. I'm pouring it up as well, because like Lifetime, as we know, kind of has that like line of the thing that made this a Lifetime movie for me was the character of Pete, that kind of like morally like on the fence, like I'm gonna be like a shady kind of friend. So that wouldn't happen in like any other network.
Correct.
You gotta kind of have like the, it's a little bit more real, I think, like to have somebody to be like, oh, well, I'm like, you're not my friend. I'm going to give it to my friend. So I like that. I also like, I mean, the New York thing was just laughable because we all know these are filmed in Canada. The article like shouldn't have been written about things to do in New York, because these were not New York things. It could have been about anything else. Like just the logistics of that are silly, but if you don't read into it too much, as far as like direction and like all that stuff goes, in acting, I think that it takes it up to the pour it up level.
Wow. There you have it.
Pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Just curmudgeony over here.
Just curmudgeony. Yes, you are.
You're right. I would say the writing, not so much, you know?
I got you. It's fair.
And you're just getting the story from us, so.
Yeah, and I feel great about that decision, too. Yeah, like, I don't feel like I missed out here, which is great. Like, when you guys were doing the Hammer with Reba, I felt like I was missing out the whole time. And I didn't feel that way here.
Yeah, so, a true classic. All right, well, we'll be back next time with another one. Patrick, great to see you. Everybody else, good to be heard or seen on Philo, philo.tv/GTH. Until next time, maybe the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast is produced by Aaron Shea. What? For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on the Deck the Hallmark family, you can go to bramblejamplus.com. Deck the Hallmark is presented by Philo TV. For a free trial of Philo, go to philo.tv/DTH. Okay.